service, but they help us through the week, that we're able to go back and the Lord put a melody upon our hearts, and we begin to think about these songs. And while you open your Bibles to the book of Matthew, the 5th chapter, let me also say that I guess it was yesterday that Ott and Barb left to go down to Kentucky, and they'll be coming back on Thursday. So we need to be much in prayer for them as they travel as well, that God will just give them safe traveling mercies. Book of Matthew, the 5th chapter. If you found it and like to stand for the reading of God's Word with us tonight while you pray, go down with me, if you would, verses 14 through 16. In these verses, the Lord says to us, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." And stop reading over verse 16, and you can be seated in the house of the Lord. Go with us, if you would, with a text that the Lord has laid upon our hearts from this. It's not the lamp, it's the light. And it's been a long time since I've preached from this. I never thought about it this way until the Lord laid it upon my heart. It's not the lamp, it's the light. In those days, it was different than what we have today. He told his people, he said, that we are the light of the world. It's no different today than what it was then, that God's people are still what keeps this world illuminated. He said there in his word that we are like a city that is set on the hill that cannot be hid. And he talks about a candle that is lit. It's not a candle like we know it, that's made out of wax and has a wick. But in biblical days, a candle that he is referring to here was an oil lamp, one that was made out of various different materials, whether it be brass or silver or gold, and some were even made of clay. And all they were was a bowl that had the oil in it and a wick. And that was lit to give light. He said that this candle was lit, that he giveth light unto all that are in the house. Those that are even afar off can see that light that shines once it has been lit. And the Bible talks about it over in the 4th chapter of this same book, in the 16th verse, in the 15th verse, he starts talking about how that Isaiah had told them and prophesied about Zebulun and Nephilim, and by the way, the trouble that they had and all the discord that was there, and how dark of a time it was. It was prophesying about them going into bondage, and it was a dark time in their lives. And Zebulun and Nephilim, you remember, was two of the tribes of the children of Israel, and they knew God, but they went against God. And they started calling upon the false gods. And what I like about the 16th verse, it says that in the 13th verse, it tells us, and Jesus was walking through that land. And when Jesus come through walking in that land, he said in the 16th verse, the people which sat in darkness saw great light. He didn't preach, he didn't testify, but just by him walking through that land, they saw a great light. And we, as God's people today, can remember back in our lives when a brother or sister would go by or the word would be preached, how that light was illuminated for us. And it showed us that we didn't have to stay in darkness, but we could come to the light and live. And he goes on to say this, that not to just those that was there, that they saw that great light. He said, but it was even more. And he said, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. And when I read that, my spirit rejoiced, because even though we might be in the shadow of death, there's still a light that is shining around us. I hope that blesses y'all tonight to think about that. Death is dark. Death is deep. But God is there to light it up for us. And we don't have to worry about walking alone. But through all of this, when we read about these lights that they had and how that it was made, and how that they would put the olive oil is what was used in biblical days for the oil. It was the oil that was put into the lamp so that the wick could be lit and so that light would be given off in the house or in the room, wherever you might be at, that you needed a light to see where you was going. And I thought about this while they were singing their song, that it's important for us to let our light shine because it's not our oil. We didn't put the oil in our life. But it was God who put the oil in our life. And some folks might be a little scared and say, remember now, preacher, you're in a Baptist church, but I believe in the oil that comes through the Spirit of God that allows our lights to shine. Sometimes I feel like I'm about a 3-watt bulb. Other times I feel like I'm about a 3,000-watt bulb. Anybody else know what I'm talking about tonight? That when the Lord is in the midst and the Spirit is high, I feel like I'm one of the brightest lights that there are. But sometimes when I'm down and out and I feel like I'm all by myself, like Jeremiah or one of the other prophets, I feel like my light is just barely flickering. But I like that song of years gone by that McCamey sung. The flame has flickered, but the fire has never gone out. Because it's not my oil, it's His oil that He gives to me. Our lights, once our light has been lit, it cannot go out. Can I get an amen? It cannot go out because it's not our oil and it's not our light or our wick. And we did not light the light. It's not our fire that it made this oil to begin to burn, but it was God's fire. That's why oftentimes when I preach, I tell you about that when God saves us, He baptizes us. Next weekend, not this weekend, but next weekend, we're going to have another baptismal service here at the church. And I get all excited about seeing people get baptized because that means somebody else has robbed the devil the joy of taking another soul to hell for all eternity. But when I think about the baptism, folks, before you ever get into this water for baptism, you've already been baptized with the fire and the Holy Ghost. And when that fire comes down from heaven, you remember Moses when he's up on Mount Sinai. You remember before he went up there, he said, I've got to go see this bush that's on fire. It burns, but it's not consumed. Isn't that like us? God put a fire in our lives. It burns, but it doesn't consume us. We're still able to go and allow others to see our light. It's His oil. It's His wick. It's His light. It's not ours. We're just the bowl. When I read this, I thought it was very spiritual that some of these were made of brass and some of silver and some of gold. But Bible Day said that they did have some that was made of clay. Anybody else catch that when I first read it? That you and I are nothing more than a piece of clay that the Master has put upon the spinning wheel and molded us into a bowl that can hold His Spirit, His wick, and His fire. So that others can look at our lives and say, there is something different about them. As I believe it was last Sunday or Wednesday night, in the message I made reference to the point that people see a light in us and they say there's something different about them. And at first they'll think it's just a fad and it'll wear off, Brother Holcomb. But as time goes on, we prove that it's not us that's changed ourselves, but it's God that changed us. He changed us. Because the Scripture says, we did not make ourselves, but it's God who made us. He took that clay and He made us into a bowl. And I don't know if this will excite you or not, but I thought about this as we was coming over here that the lamp itself has nothing to boast about. Because God can take the oil and the wick and the fire out of that lamp and put it into another lamp and still have light. Amen? I don't want God to take the oil out of my life. Because when I need him to keep a constant supply. What they would often do is that they would set bowls in sequence to make sure that if it was too small of a bowl, to make sure that the light didn't go out during the night, they would have bowls in sequence. It would have an endless supply of oil to make sure that that wick kept on burning. And when I read about that, I thought, Lord, sometimes that's the way I feel. No wonder David said, he maketh my cup to overflow. Sometimes I feel like that I've just got so much light because he just keeps giving the oil to me. And you know what I pray for each and every one of us is that God will just enlarge our bowls so that we can hold more of his oil, so that our lights can shine bright. But I don't want to just put it all on the Lord, because we have a responsibility in this as well. We as the lamps only have one part of the responsibility, and that is to keep the bowl clean. Because God will not put his oil into a dirty vessel. Did not the scripture say to us, know ye not that you are the temple, a temple of God, and that God will not dwell in an unclean house? And if we keep the bowl clean, the oil will be there and the fire will be there, and it'll be light to a lost and dark and dying world, that they can see that there is a reality in knowing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. None of us can say we've always allowed our lights to burn at the maximum wattage. I wish I could say that. In fact, I want to go out tonight and be the first to confess. I wish I could let my light so shine. Because sometimes we have tried to hide under a bushel. Have we not? Because sometimes we're afraid of what somebody might think or what somebody might say. But then we get up in years and we realize that they're not our friends. They're not the ones that helps us and protects us. But it's God who helps us. It's God who gives us all things that we stand in need of. If we're going to let our light shine for anybody, it ought to be let it shine for God. In fact, the children sing it like this way: let it sing till Jesus, let it shine till Jesus comes. That's what we ought to do. Amen. Let our light so shine. Yeah. And if we keep the bowl clean, God will keep supplying the oil. The fire is there. The wick is there. And if we'll keep the bowl clean, our lights will shine so bright that people around us will be bound to notice that there's something different in our life. The Bible says in John, the third chapter, everyone knows John 3:16, and verse 17 says it like this, that God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through him the world might be saved. And that men, that they would see his light and come to his light. But the next verse says it like this, that but men love darkness more than they do light, because their works are evil. Sometimes we try to hide and think if we stay out of the light, God won't know what we've done. You might hide it from the preacher. You might hide it from the deacons. You might even hide it from the church. But you won't hide it from God. In fact, the more we live and the more that we see people and talk to people, we realize how small this world really is. How many places that you can go and run into somebody that's just from up the street? Or they know somebody that you know. I don't know a lot of famous people. Most of my people, you've never heard their names before. And that's good for you. But there are some people that have a lot of people in their life that they know that are famous people. It doesn't matter who you know. If you don't know Jesus Christ, you've not known much. Amen. You've not known much. He said that we ought to let this light shine, because that the light would shine before men that they may see your good works. People say, I don't want people to think that I'm all that and that I'm good. The Bible didn't say that you're good. He said that you might see your good works. And if we'll try to lead others to Jesus Christ, they will see our good works in time. And often it takes time to prove that it's not us, but it's God that's doing the works in our life. And then he goes on to say it like this, and when they see our good works, they will glorify the Father which is in heaven. Because they'll realize, there's no way, Debbie, that we could have done this. There's no way that we could have been that great light. It had to be a source greater than ours in order for that light to shine. And the Bible says it's like this. He said it was God who set every light that there is in this world. It was God that set it in motion. He created the stars. He created the sun. He created the moon. He created you and I. But when this world comes to an end, there's only going to be one light. Because the Bible says in the book of Revelation, in the 21st chapter and the 23rd verse, it says it like this, that there will be no need for the sun or the moon in that city. We won't need to have our bowls. In fact, we're getting a brand new one. And we won't have to worry about the light there, because the Bible says in that verse that God is the light of that city. And I like the next verse, in the 24th verse, and he says that the gates of that city are not shut by night, because there is no night there. There's no darkness there. No unclean thing, no unworthy thing is going to make it to heaven. Only the redeemed by the grace of God. Those that's had the oil in their lamps and had the fire lit on their wick. The Bible says it like this, and then I'll close. You remember the parable about the 10 virgins. 5 of them had the oil in their lamp. And at the midnight cry, when the call went out, 5 of them didn't have the oil in their lamp. When it got dark, they had no oil. Their light could not shine. And they said it like this, Sister Tara, to the others, "Give us some of your oil." But it was impossible. "I cannot give you any of my oil. I cannot share with my family and friends any of my oil. Because it's not my oil. It's God's oil. He's the one who put it in." And if any of us has any light that to be boasted upon or be bragged about, we ought to be bragging about Jesus Christ tonight. And I know that what you're saying when we talk about each other, and I appreciate people allowing their lights to so shine, but folks, it's God's light in that bowl that we're looking at that is shining bright. I like to be like one of those oil rigs. You see some of them oil rigs, when they first burst through, sometimes they'll catch on fire, and it's like flames shooting all the way to the heavens. Sometimes that's the way I'd like to be. Sometimes that's the way I feel. When the Lord passes by the house of God, or wherever we might be at, and the Lord passes by. And let me make sure I'm clear on that. You don't have to be in church to be in an inferno. In fact, it's easy to let your light shine in here. What God is asking us to do is, when we go out into the world, let our light so shine out there that men might see our good works and that they might glorify God, which is in heaven. I don't believe you're saved by your works, but I believe that we are saved unto good works. And part of that good works is keeping our bowls clean. We don't want to be like the Pharisees. And I'm going to close. Jesus told the Pharisees, he said, "You clean up the outside of the bowl, cup, but the inside," if I can paraphrase it, "the inside is just as dirty as dirt can be. It's like a cesspool." Folks, I'd rather the outside not suit man and the inside suit God than I had for it to be reversed. Because it's not what men think about you and say about you. It's what God knows about you that matters. It's not man that put the oil on my lamp. It's not man that put the wick there. And it's not man that lit the fire. But it's God who gave me all things that I stood in need of. And if we can let our light shine just a little bit. If we, in the darkness of the night, here just in probably another half hour or so. If you turned off all these lights, and you come in here, especially if you went downstairs, it would be pitch dark. Blackness all around. And folks, it wouldn't take, for those that say, "I'm not a very strong light," it wouldn't take a whole lot of wattage for you to be able to see what was in front of you. That's the way that we ought to encourage these new converts. Let that light shine. And no matter, Hudson loves flashlights. I'll say this, and I'm trying to find a closing place. He loves flashlights. It don't matter how small it is or how small the light is. He just loves flashlights, and he'll go in the darkest place he can get in the house. Sometimes it's under a bed. He'll get down, and you'll see him crawling underneath that bed so he can turn on that light and see how bright it looks in that darkness. I gave you that example to say that we ought to let our little light to so shine that in this dark world, people will see it. And folks, whether we realize it or not, people do notice your good works. And it will come back to you. And they'll see that you have a light that they don't have. You have oil that they don't have. You have a wick that they don't have. You have a fire that they don't have. Every time, by the littlest things, it builds their confidence in trusting you. How many of you have ever had somebody you thought didn't think a thing about you come up and say, would you pray for my mother? Would you pray for my father? Would you pray for my loved ones because they're sick? And we didn't have long, in-depth conversations with them about church, Brother Rob. They saw the light that we could not hide. They saw something was different. And in time, it come back to glorify God because they realized our lives had something that theirs needed. Tonight, it's not the lamp. We can't say, look at me. Look who I am. Look what I am. Because all of us is nothing more than a clay bowl that God has His Spirit in, His fire that illuminates our life. Isn't that something tonight? The way God works. He takes not just fine vessels, but He takes just dirt vessels and makes them to where people look at them and say, wow, look at that light. Because it shines bright. It shows our people the way to Jesus Christ. And that's what our life ought to be all about. It's not what you can amass in this life. It's not what titles you can earn. It's about how many souls can we lead to Jesus Christ before their day comes. And folks, I've heard people say, well, it'll help you when you get to heaven the more that you lead. Folks, let me tell you, you don't have to wait to get to heaven for it to help you. It'll help you on this side to rejoice when another child gets born again. And when we get to heaven, you and I don't have anything to brag about to begin with because it's not our oil. It wasn't our son. It's not our salvation. It's everything that God has done for us. And that's why they get a song of invitation tonight. That's why the scripture says it like this. That the elders took their crowns and laid them at the feet of Jesus. Because they wasn't worthy to even wear them. But they gave it to the man who was worthy. Because he's the one who paid the price. He's the one who gave us the oil. He's the one who gave us the fire. And as soon as that olive oil ran out, that light went out. If God withholds His Spirit from us, you know what happens? We die. We die. Because without the Spirit of God, we're dead men and women walking around. But with the Spirit of God, we're alive and well. So don't try to hide your light. Let your light shine so that others can see the way to Jesus Christ and that they might honor you and your works and glorify God who is in heaven for the light that they saw. And while they get ready to sing, let me say this and then I will close tonight. At the hour that you didn't even think that your light was shining, you think about this, Christians. How many of us can look back at points in our life to when our light was so dim, but a brother or sister came by our way and their light helped guide us. When we couldn't see where to walk, it was a brother or sister that helped us until we got our lives so that we could get the oil, so we could clean up the bowl so the oil would burn properly. God knows what we need. He knows what you need tonight. While we stand, they sing just one verse. of a song. You follow your heart. Is the bowl clean? Is your light shining as bright as it should be? And I can answer that for all of us. There's not any of us tonight that our light shines as bright as what we would like for it to. We would like for that light to be so much brighter. Not that we would be exalted, but that God would be exalted and that lost people would be saved. How about you tonight? Do you sometimes feel that the oil's about to run out? God's got an endless supply. Endless supply. Sometimes we feel like the flame has even gone out. But the scripture is plain. And it teaches us that what God has ignited cannot go out. Even though it may be awfully dim. Make that move tonight and let your light so shine. While they pause for a minute, I just have one verse, but Rob, I want you to pause for a minute if you would. There's not time left for us to try to hide our lights. We don't have enough time. Think about all the people that you know that's lost. At Sister Villa, they need to see just a little bit of light from our lives to try to lead them to Jesus Christ. We don't have enough days, months, or years left to try to hide that light. But we ought to be proud about what God has done for us. You know, and oftentimes I've said this, even I thought years ago, I thought someday, Jeff, there'll come a point when the devil won't bother me as much as he did when I was younger. But you know what I find as I grow older? The devil never lightens up. He never lightens up. The same temptations that he would bring by when I was younger, he still brings by. He still brings by. But every time, instead of giving in to the temptation, we let our light shine, it just cleans us up a little bit more. And folks, don't get me wrong. I know we all can use some cleaning. Amen. We all could. And the world is dependent upon us. Even though they may laugh at us and mock us, they're dependent upon somebody to shine a light to them to lead them to Jesus Christ. One last verse, Rob, if you would. Just follow your hearts tonight. No time to waste. No time to sit back. But the Bible says work while it's day, because the night cometh when no man can work. What he's referring to is that while we have this day, we need to let our light shine, because there's coming a day, a night when we'll be called out of this life and on home to be with the Lord. Help them sing this chorus, church. Coming home. It's not the lamp. It's the fire. It's the fire. Yes. Arms of love. Amen and amen. I thought about this today. We all know of times in our life when our light didn't shine as bright as it should. Am I preaching the truth? Sometimes I think I owe those people that was around me at that time an apology for not letting my light shine. But most of all, I owe God an apology. And I pray that somebody else was a light to them, and that they saw that light and came to know the Lord. Because, folks, the Bible teaches us that if we tell a person the truth, he told the disciples this, if you go in the house and you preach them the truth, and paraphrasing, and they don't receive the truth when you preach it to them, as you depart from the house, wipe the dust off of your feet. He said, their blood will I not require at your hands. But if we fail, if I can use this as my message tonight, if we fail to let our light shine, folks, it could be their blood that is required at our hands because we failed to tell them the truth about the Lord. And I don't want to scare you tonight, but that's just the scripture. That's the scripture. We need to let our light shine until Jesus comes. Hide it under a bushel? No. I'm going to let it shine. Amen. And we all need to let our light shine. And if you take one little bitty light, and you put a bunch of little bitty lights together, you know what you've got? You've got a bonfire. And that's what this church needs to be. We need to be a bonfire for this whole community and try to lead others to the Lord. I hope you got something from the message tonight. My throat is about as raw as, I don't even know what to use. You guys must have preached a preacher awful hard Sunday. Because it's raw. But that's all right. That's all right. I don't have any regrets about preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as they used to say, I'd rather wear out than rust out. Amen. God bless you. Have a great Thursday and Friday. And I won't be in town. I'm leaving town tomorrow. Just so y'all know, I got to go to Boston, and I'll be up there tomorrow and be back Friday night. So you keep an eye on each other for me, would you? And yes, hold the fort down, and may God bless you. You pray for us, we'll pray for you, and let's just help each other. And then Sunday, I'm looking forward to a great time in the house of God as well. So God bless you. Remember each other. Let's go praying. Come back praying Sunday morning, expecting great things to happen. And Jim's not being rude. I'm telling Jim it's time for him to leave. Okay? Because he's got to get home and get in bed. He gets up at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Brother Roger, all right. Sister Charlene asked me Sunday night. She said she's not asked for a whole service, big service or anything.
Yeah,
she
just wanted her dad.
She could... Her dad would like to hear some people come out and just sing to them, or it could be the choir or anything. Or if just she said just come out and sing a few songs for him. And
yes.
I was wondering if, you know, who all would be interested in going out there. And, you know, we're thinking of maybe a Monday or Tuesday. Is coming Monday or Tuesday, something like that. What works best? Who could go Monday?
Monday? I'll go whenever you want to go.
And then I'll check back with her.
Whenever you want to go.
All right. We'll check on Monday then.
Okay.
Check.
Okay.